Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
This is just very, very odd. So Business Insider reporting that Elon Musk says he'd be comfortable implanting a Neuralink brain chip in one of his children. Well, maybe his least favorite child, but I'm not really sure about that. So he said he's comfortable implanting a Neuralink brain chip in one of his children. Speaking at a company event, Musk said such a move would not be dangerous in his opinion. Now, what on earth is this? Mare Nietling is the principal for artificial intelligence at Synthesis Software Technologies. Mare, good morning. Thanks for joining. How are you?
Good morning, Howard and listeners. I'm well, thanks yourself.
So would you implant one of these into one of your children, your least favorite child?
Well, I must say that's a difficult decision. But on the one hand, if you look at what Elon Musk says, is he'll implant it if one of his kids were disabled in some
All right. So there's a qualification. So let's just talk about this, because we live with this fear that we're going to be completely controlled. We are already controlled. We know that. but all right. What is he talking about? What is this Neuralink brain chip?
So Neuralink is a biomechanical device that gets implanted in the brain. And it has electrodes, and it's trying to create this interface between humans and machines, or humans and computers. So initially, and by the way, this is not the first company to do this. There are other companies that already have brain implants that have been approved and are being used to help and assist people with disabilities. The idea is then that you can implant this. Initially, Neuralink will act in a passive sense, meaning it will pick up brain activity and then try and translate that to something, you know, that can control a computer. For example, someone that can't speak or use their limbs or hands to type out something, they will be able to just think about something and then control a computer, for example, to write text. And in this way, they have regained the ability to communicate.
So it's actually absolutely phenomenal. It can really unlock people who are paralyzed, who haven't been able to speak. It's just the possibilities are immense, surely.
Yes, indeed. And I see from the articles they're also working on enhancements to this, or new devices, secondary devices which can help people with spinal injuries regain mobility of their limbs. So I think by adding a second device, maybe just to after the sort of the trauma in this the spinal cord, you can then relay the signals from the brain back to that part of the spinal cord, and then control your spinal cords again. Your limbs.
What's difficult, I would imagine, is and if I just look at it from another perspective, when we've seen medical science do amazing things, so maybe assist people who could potentially pass on genetic disorders to their children, who are able to deal with eliminate certain harmful genes in that way, but then where it becomes difficult is somebody might say, well, hold on, forget the fact that, I don't know, we're going to remove Tay-Sachs from our gene pool because that's a life-threatening disease. I want to put in an order for a son who's 6 foot and an athlete and a member of, you know, a possible member of Mensa, etc. So that's when it starts to become dangerous. Do we see the same danger here, and is that maybe what makes us just a little bit nervous about this?
So a good question, because indeed I think what knowing Elon Musk and what he wants to try and achieve, you know, it won't stop there. In the future, Neuralink will probably switch to an active mode, so this is where your brain now gets stimulated to produce, you know, sensors or vision, or add I don't know, thoughts into your head, if you want to call it that.
Yeah,
and that is obviously very
well, it's a slippery slope.
Interesting.
But
So
again,
that's very interesting.
at the same time, you know, some of us take Concerta because we ADHD, and that helps our brain function a little bit better, or the way it should. So there's always this line that we need to keep figuring out. I mean, you're very involved in the space in artificial intelligence. Do these moral questions form part of the conversation, or are they completely sidelined in terms of development?
No, there's certainly always moral questions, and a lot of these AI companies have people on their boards that are tasked with looking at the moral questions that arise when they develop new technologies with new capabilities. And they I think certainly try and do this in a responsible way. The other day, Meta has released a new large language model, for example, that was trained on lots and lots of academic papers and academic text. And a lot of people, when this was released, found that this model could generate very plausible sounding academic papers, but it was actually gibberish. But to a layperson reading this, you know, it might sound plausible. And after 2 or 3 days, they pulled the plug on it and you know, took the model offline because of potentially perceived risks in for generating, you know, fraudulent or otherwise, you know, misleading type of academic papers.
And you could see if you could foresee, even going back to this Neuralink, you could see it being used potentially by armies, potentially by countries at war, both nefarious and non-nefarious, and you know, good and evil.
Absolutely.
So
Yeah.
it really does become, we really are moving into what we used to see as science fiction, is now becoming a little bit closer to reality.
Indeed, the cyborgs that you're talking about.
Yes.
So we do have this limited ability to interface with machines. You know, we interface primarily via our eyes to take in information and our fingers to give commands and instruct. And it's a very low bandwidth interface. So if you can speed this up by bringing the computer directly into the brain, you can almost interface with computer at the speed of thought. And I think that's the idea. So whether you'll use it for nefarious purposes or not is basically, you know,
I suppose if you
a
think
cyborg.
about it, isn't that everything? You know, you could use a car to get from one place to another, or you know,
Yes.
for good, or you could use it to drive to a crime scene. You know, there's
Yeah.
absolutely everything. Everything exists in the world for good and for evil, and it's just how we use it. I'd love your reaction, please. 34519 or 0618951019. Adam says, Maren, it's an interesting one. He says, I foresee a new legal defense. My client didn't intend to kill the victim, Your Honor. His brain was hacked. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
it's just a whole new world, and we're going to have to try and figure this one out as we go along. Maren Nietling, Principal for Artificial Intelligence at Synthesis Software Technologies. Thank you for joining us.